Welcome to the show. We have a lot of fun things lined up today, but before we get started, I need to get some things off my chest. So here we are, another mass shooting. This time in San Bernardino, California. 14 people dead and many others wounded. So how many more of these shootings do we need? How many more people need to die before we have real gun control laws in place? Now, before the right-wing nuts go up and get their panties in a bunch about what I'm going to say, I'm not talking about getting rid of guns or taking guns away from people. I grew up around guns. My father, growing up, and still is, a licensed gun owner here in Brooklyn, New York. We were taught at an early age how to handle guns, how to be careful with guns. Some of the best times where him and I bonded was when we were learning how to shoot. So I'm not against gun ownership. What I'm against is guns in the hands of nut jobs. To give you an example, 15 of the last mass shootings, 15 of those, the guns were purchased legally. Now, 8 of those gunmen had either criminal records or documented mental health issues. But that did not stop them from getting guns. So what is wrong with that picture? Why aren't people angry? Why aren't people on the right angry about that? They're all about everyone's got to have guns. If more people had guns during any of those shootings, this is what they say. If more people had guns during those shootings, there'd be less dead people. How does that make any logical sense? So we need strict background checks. That's a fact. That shouldn't be an argument. The fact that people with criminal records, the fact that people with mental health issues can buy guns legally should piss the entire fucking country off. But we have these yahoos on the right who disagree with that. It makes no fucking sense. And until something is done about this, about stricter background checks, that's what we need. We're not talking about getting rid of guns or taking away guns from people, because that's what the right spews. Wake up, America. As these shootings become more regular, we're going to become numb to this. And it's just going to be another day in America. Every other day, mass shootings. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. As the most civilized country in the world, as the number one country in the first world, this is no way to live. You got to stand behind some sort of movement to have stricter background checks. As soon as it's known that someone has a criminal record or a mental health problem, you can't buy them, plain and simple. So I'd love to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree. Shoot me an email, robaguilarshow@gmail.com. Also, if you have any comments, suggestions, or any topics that you want me to cover, or if you want to co-host and hang out with me, you got something important to say, reach out and we'll definitely make it happen. So we've got a great show lined up. We've got Renee Allison Spina of SmartSexRocks.com. She's going to talk to us about many different things regarding relationships, dating, sex, and how guys can pick up women without being creepy, which is something that keeps coming up over and over again. For some reason, the approach is always the difficult thing to do, that first step. How do I go over there and talk to that chick? Well, it's always great to have a woman's perspective on these things. So that's coming up in a few moments. Also, I want to invite you to check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/RobAguilarShow. There you'll find some affiliate links. We have affiliate links for Onnit. We have affiliate links for Amazon. And when you make a purchase using those affiliate links, we make a small commission. Also, make sure to check out Roan Jewelry. That's roanjewelry.com. They are a longtime sponsor of the show. Check them out. When you support them, you support the show. So stick around. We got a lot of fun things lined up. You do not want to be left out.
From A1 Studios in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, New York, this is the Rob Aguilar Show.
Renee, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Rob.
We get a lot of questions from mostly, I would say, single guys. They run into difficulty approaching women. The difficulty lies in, I guess, nowadays, and speaking here locally in New York City, it becomes so difficult to approach people because everyone seems so busy. Everyone is doing their own thing. And this morning while I was coming into the studio, and this happens every day, you cross people on the street and everyone's wearing earbuds or headphones and everyone's in a rush. So the issue that I hear is, how are you supposed to talk to people or women if they're always wearing headphones and earbuds and they're afraid to say something because they might get a rude response, or, hey, can't you see I'm wearing headphones? Leave me alone. So that, I think, is a big issue where they're afraid that they don't want to come off as creepy.
Well, I can totally understand about the earbuds and even somebody just being on their cell phone. I tell women all the time, if you want to meet somebody, if you want to be approachable, you cannot always be on your cell phone. You cannot always have the earbuds in. But one of the things that, most important thing that we need to start with when we're talking about not being creepy and approaching women is confidence. So the way that you appear to somebody, especially if they can't hear you because they're wearing earbuds, is how are you perceived? Are you perceived as someone that's confident? You know, what is your stance like? Are your shoulders back and down? Is your chin up? Do you stand like a confident person? Or are you kind of like meek and your shoulders are kind of hunched over and you're not really sure of yourself? Because women, the top thing that women say that they're attracted to, and it's not the great butt or that the guy's funny, is confidence. So if a man, I know that if I had my headphones in and somebody was standing in front of me simply just smiling, like trying to get my attention and like waving like hi, but it wasn't in a creepy way, it was in a confident way, I would probably laugh. And then if he waved and said hi, maybe I would take out my earbud if he looked like, hey, okay, this is somebody I might want to talk to, and say hi. And he might say, hey, hi. You know, I didn't want to scare you. I didn't want to disturb you. You might be listening to your favorite song right now, but I wanted to take the chance to say hello and introduce myself. You know, but it's, again, before I even would consider talking to him, I'm going to do that visual check. Does that make sense?
Sure, like a scan.
Yeah.
You're gonna scan this guy. Then it's safe to say that women, I guess the minute they glance over and they see a guy, they can instantly kind of do a quick scan and think in their minds, well, I would like for this guy to talk to me. If he talks to me, I'll take my earbuds out. But it's, so then it's not about the chiseled physique necessarily.
No. I mean, the guy could be totally cute and he can have his little nerdy glasses on and, you know, and he's not rocking huge biceps. I mean, it's more just about how he carries himself. And what I hear from guys, whether they're, you know, 19 or 29 or 39, is that they're so afraid of rejection. So if you're walking up to a woman with that fear, it's like coming out of your pores. It's like, oh, she's going to be mean to me. Oh, she's down. Who cares? You have to walk up not with that fear, with the confidence that, hey, if this woman is somebody that's good for me, she's going to talk to me. You have to have that inner strength that she will be attracted to, and not, and just get rid of that fear of rejection. Who cares? I don't care if 25 women reject you. You know, you change up your approach a little bit and you go after the next one. It's not about like one or two women not wanting to talk to you.
Women can sense that fear right away.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's okay if you're a little nervous. If the guys are a little nervous, it's okay. It's almost endearing. If they're just a tad nervous to come up because look at the situation, they don't know you. But please don't come up with the, oh, you know, I'm nothing, or gosh, I know this woman's going to shoot me down. You go into it with, you know, take a breath and go into, hey, I'm going to give this my best shot right now. And I'm going to show her that I'm somebody worth, you know, speaking to, that I can hold my own. Women don't want to see fear. Women don't want to see weakness. They want to see strength.
You touched on something really interesting. You said that it's not necessarily the nice butt or the chiseled physique. Is that why we see sometimes ugly dudes with really hot chicks?
Okay. Wait a second. First of all, okay, two things.
Uh-huh.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
Okay. So if I lined up 10 guys and I, you know, was standing there, my opinion of each of those 10 would be different than the next woman that came in and stood in front of those 10 men. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
But I tell men, be what you want to attract. If, prime example, I was mm-hmm. with a client that I was his dating coach, and he goes and he meets me at this rooftop bar in Long Beach. And he shows up wearing this shirt that I swear it could have been a pajama top. And I'm like, what are you wearing? What is that? Uh-huh. Is that your pajamas?
Uh-huh.
And it was this ugly color. It did nothing for his complexion. It wasn't ironed. It was wrinkled. And then this woman walks in. She's so put together. Her hair is perfect. Her makeup is perfect. She's well-dressed. And she's like, oh, he's like, oh, I would like someone like that. And I said, well, she's not going to want someone like you. And he goes, Renee, I said, look at her. She took so much care in how she looked tonight. And I said, and look at you. You pulled your pajama top all wrinkly out of the hamper. I said, now, do you think she's going to give you a chance? Is she going to give you a second look? You're not even going to get a second look, buddy. But if you had your nice shirt been ironed, or I don't know, maybe you took it to the dry cleaner for 99 cents and it wasn't didn't look like a pajama top, you would have had a shot with her all because of that shirt. And I mean, come on, Rob, that's something easy to do, right?
It is. But some guys really need help with that, I guess.
I know.
But you know what happens?
What?
I think it goes back to growing up. Like, for example, in my case, my mom growing up did everything for me. She ironed my clothes. She'd pick out my clothes when I was in school. You know, I'm talking about like grade school, elementary school. And that's what we're used to. And I think that's why when guys are in relationships, their women dress them. I've heard of guys who, you know, their wife puts their outfits together because we need help. We really do. Sometimes, let's say a guy's going out on a date with his girlfriend or his wife, and he's trying to put an outfit together. And I've heard horror stories where he'll put something together and he shows his girlfriend or his wife, and she looks at it and she laughs. It's because we need the help. We seriously need the help sometimes.
And, you know, some guys do. Do you know a lot of guys are colorblind?
Oh, really?
A lot of guys are colorblind. So, like, they can't tell the difference between red or green. And a lot of those men do need help coordinating wardrobes. But even if your mom helps you, or your girlfriend, or your wife, or your sister, actually, you need to pick up what they're teaching. Pick up a magazine. Start looking around on the internet. Look at other guys. Look at how they're dressed. I mean, come on. Hopefully, if you're a healthy male, you have female friends. It's good to have friends of the opposite gender. And ask them, say, hey, can you come shopping with me? Could you help me pick out some nice outfits? But there's just no excuse for showing up to meet women and mm-hmm. looking like you pulled your shirt out of the hamper. That's, you know, if you want to go out like that with the guys, knock yourself out. But not when you're, you know, out there and you want to approach women, because they're just going to think you don't care. And, you know, but who am I to say? There could be a woman out there that loves to pull dirty shirts out of the hamper, and she sees you and it looks like you pulled your shirt out of the dirty hamper. You know what? There's a lid for every pot. So,
Absolutely. So then
perfect. There you go. Let's go get dressed and pull our dirty pajama shirt out of the hamper. And so I shouldn't say this works for everybody.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Let's go out and put some dirty clothes on and have a blast.
Oh.
So you think every guy should have a wing woman?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Remember, when I spent a few years as a wing woman, and let me tell you, it's not easy work. It's tough work. Scoping out the women in the room, seeing who you think might work well for your friend or in my case, my client. Because as a female, I can go up to almost any woman and strike up a conversation, right? I can say, oh, those earrings are fabulous. Oh, I so like your dress. Where did you get it? Blah, blah, blah. And I can start this conversation with her. And if I think it's going well, that her personality would lend itself well to my friend's personality, then he can come by and I can say, hey, did you meet my friend Sean yet? And she can say, oh, no, I didn't. And then we can all just start talking and it's a safe environment, which is very different than, say, that woman is with a group of women. A lot of men are kind of hesitant to walk up to a woman if she's with a group of friends. It's different when she's by herself. When you've got a group of women and, you know, here you have to have the, you know, the cojones to walk up sure. to this group of women, because women are scary, Rob.
They are.
You know, it's nice to have that woman to be able to break the ice. And if that woman does break the ice, there's something that the man has to do when he's talking to that woman. Now, I want you to make sure that all your guys get a paper and pencil out right now, because this is mm-hmm. super important. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Look at her eyes when you talk to her. I don't care how much cleavage she is showing. Do not drop your eye. This is what I tell women. Mm-hmm. You have to make a choice. Men can only look one place at a time, your eyes or your cleavage. Eyes or boobs. And I'll tell you, even as a female, a heterosexual female, if a woman walks up to me and she's got boobs popping out, I don't look at her eyes. I look at her boobs, because boobs are popping out at me.
Sure.
And I'm like, sure. Dang, how do men do this? I mean, I'm looking at her boobs and I'm not even interested in her sexually. So I'm like, I go boobs and then I go eyes. But I tell guys, I don't care. You stare at her eye. You lock into those eyes.
Oh, yeah. Hone in there and do not be distracted.
No.
Absolutely. No. So then yep. you can understand the difficulty we're up against. And there's always a dilemma. Who has it easier? Is it men or women? Because some guys believe, well, you know what? Women just kind of have to sit around and wait to be approached. Let's say if it's a bar setting. And we have to do all the approaching. And they just sit there and wait. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but what do you think? Who has it easier when it comes to that?
I think they have difficulty in different ways. So I think that the men have the difficulty of the approach just because of the fear of rejection. Imagine if you thought every single woman was going to want to talk to you and every single woman you spoke to was going to want to go out with you, right? You would do mm-hmm. it all the time. You'd be like, mm-hmm. hey, this is easy. No big deal. But what about all the women that want somebody to approach them? And nobody does. And what if they don't have the skills to look approachable and be approachable? Or for some reason, men just are not approaching them and they don't have the guts to approach a man. Women can approach a man. Women can smile and say, hi, how are you? And my name is. Remember, society has kind of put this thing out there that, oh, men are supposed to be the approachers. So what I would say is, men make it easy for the woman to say yes to you. And mm-hmm. you're going to say, okay, well, how do they make it easy, right? Watch your personal space. So when you walk up to a woman, don't get too close to her. I don't like when men get into my personal space. Do you understand?
Sure.
Okay. Don't get too close to me. Please make sure when you approach me that you didn't just eat a hoagie with a whole bunch of
tons of onions.
Because that's a turn. Yeah, that's a turnoff. I don't want the onion hoagie breath on me. Don't touch me. Don't touch my hair. Don't touch my body, because I don't know you. And don't use any profanity and don't say any sexual innuendos. Now, there's a little caveat to that. If the woman uses profanity, then men, knock yourself out. Use profanity. She opened the door. If she mm-hmm. is using sexual innuendos, knock yourself out. She opened the door. You can do it too. But you let her lead. Let the woman lead and you follow. And make it easy for her to say yes. Pull out your business card. And I don't care what you do. Make yourself a business card. And say, hey, you know what? I loved meeting you. This was great. You seem like an awesome person. this is my card, this is my contact information. I don't want to put you on the spot. I would love to take you out for a cup of coffee. I would love to take you to happy hour, whatever you want. This is my contact information. If you feel comfortable, please text me, email me, whatever it is, call me, and we'll talk. And if you decide not to, that's fine too. But I'm putting the ball in your court so that you feel comfortable.
That's great advice. I always tell guys when they're intimidated to go up to women at a bar or any type of setting, or especially a bar, think about all the jerks that have approached this particular woman that you might be scoping out throughout the night. You know, a bunch of jerks going up to her. And here you are, you're a nice guy. You're going to be that break from all those jerks.
Yes. I remember being at a bar years ago and Sloan had just approached me with, I don't know, just being obnoxious. And then this other guy walked up to me and he hands me his card and he says, hey, when you're tired of dealing with all these clowns, call me. I would love to take you out. And I'll tell you, we did date for a while, and to this day, we're still friends.
That's exactly what I mean. You had mentioned something before about, I guess the follow-up to that. So once you strike up a conversation and you're talking and things are flowing well, and you make it easier for her to say yes, the follow-up to that, how quickly should you call? Should you wait for the call? Or if she gave you her number, do you have a rule about how quickly you should call her?
If she gave you her phone number, you know, ask her. It's so strange. You know, we have all these ways to communicate now, but we don't always ask the important questions. Say to her, listen, when would be a good time for me to call you? Or do you prefer texting? Like, I like when someone says, oh, do you text or would you rather have a phone call? What do you think? When they give me the option, give me the option. And, you know, what would be comfortable for you? Can I call you tonight? Are you available to talk? Would tomorrow be better? Let her tell you. Oh, yeah, you could call me tonight. That would be great. Or, oh, no, you know what? I'm seeing tonight. Can you give me a call tomorrow night? Ask. There's nothing. Instead of, like, playing that guessing game, oh, I have to maybe should I call her tonight because I asked her for a phone number? Or, God, I have to wait 24 hours or 3 days because I don't want to seem too, you know, needy. Ask her. Let her tell you, and just be really careful if you text. And I say that because, for example, you know how we get lazy and we use those little tiny I's instead of a capital I in texting? Mm-hmm. Me personally, I don't like it at all. It reminds me of that I'm talking to my like 13-year-old godson.
right.
I'm like, what is this? What are you, 13? So as an adult, I think you have to be careful how you appear in your texts, just like if you were on a phone call and you have to think about what your voice sounds like. So always try to play it more straight in the beginning than as if you've known them and she knows you and put in a lot of slang because she doesn't know you yet. So careful with the abbreviations and the shortcuts.
Also, another issue with texting is that sometimes things kind of get lost in translation. In other words, you could really mean one thing and she doesn't know what you were thinking as you were writing it or how you meant it, because it's very different than when you're talking on the phone. You'll hear my voice changing, different tones, and you'll understand what I mean as opposed to me writing something in a text and it gets completely lost in translation and someone gets upset because they thought I meant one thing and I really meant another. So that's why texting sometimes can get a little scary if you don't do it right, or if the person's not accustomed to texting, which is a great thing that you should ask. Do you prefer texting? Do you prefer talking on the phone? I think that's also very important.
I agree. I agree with that 100%. Because when somebody knows you and they know your sense of humor, there's less chance for any kind of misunderstanding in the text. But when you don't know somebody, or this drives me crazy when people don't put punctuation in their texts. So it's like one big run-on sentence. And then you're like, what? Wait, what does that mean? So you might want to consider doing the phone call in the beginning when you're getting to know that person. And it doesn't have to be a phone call for 3 hours. It just has to be something to set something up to get together. Like I said, over coffee or whatever it is, a baseball game, to get to the next step. I just want to make sure that guys – do follow through. Don't ask a woman for her phone number if you're not going to follow through. Every person that you meet, let's say you do go out with this woman for coffee and I don't know, there's just no chemistry. It's just, it's not a match. Mm-hmm. Don't be mean about it. Or just because you never know who she knows. She might in her head be sitting across from you thinking, you know, this is a nice guy. He's not for me, but I'd like to introduce him to my cousin. You mm-hmm. never know who she knows. So, you know, play it nice, play it cool. Just be kind. Just really, really be kind because she might be introducing you to your wife. You never know.
Always be a gentleman throughout the whole process, whether it's not a match. Treat her right. And that's exactly correct. I remember growing up, you know, my dad used to tell me, this is going back to the high school days, if I didn't have a date, you make sure you dance with everyone, whoever doesn't have a date. Even, and this is, I guess, the way guys talk. Even the girls that you don't like physically, you still dance with them because they might introduce you to someone that you do like. So dance with everyone. This is, I guess, my dad's old school way of... he said it differently. He said, you know, dance with everyone, even the ugly chicks or the ugly girls.
Okay. Well, I am in agreement with your dad. But again, there's no such thing as ugly chicks because beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But you brought up a good point, the word gentleman. And there's not, unfortunately, there's not a lot of gentlemanly manners in today's society. This is something I talk about when I'm on college campuses.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't think that young women today know that they deserve respect. And a lot of the young men, they decided, I don't know, that women don't need the respect because they were watching their fathers in action and their fathers didn't have respect for their mothers. Mm-hmm. I completely believe in gentlemanly manners up until the point that a woman says she doesn't want it because guys will say, well, I tried to open the car door for her and she said, well, I can do it myself. Then you turn around and say, okay, I just wanted to let you know that I respected you enough to make sure I was opening the car door for you. But if you'd rather do it on your own, okay, thanks for letting me know. But you always take that extra step in the beginning. To me, a man can't be gentlemanly enough. But that's just my personal preference. If somebody doesn't want the car door open for her, that's cool too. So you want to make sure that you know, you're finding a guy that's like that. But we live in a society that's very sexually aggressive, where women think that men have the right to touch them, be rude to them, not show them any kind of manners at all. And so when mothers actually teach their sons those manners, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. You know, mm-hmm. wow, thank you for taking the time to make sure that your son does have this skill set. So again, though, if the woman wants it, great. And if she doesn't, that's fine too.
No, I agree 100% to the point where I tell guys the same thing and they come back and say, well, you know, she was shocked or she wasn't used to me opening the car door for her.
Correct.
Or holding the door open when we walked into a restaurant or things like that. And it's almost like the women don't know how to react to that kind of behavior when a man holds the door open or opens the door for you so you can get into the car and stands there and waits for you to sit and then closes the door. But it goes a long way because you stand out. You will stand out.
That's correct. You will.
The woman will remember you you did those things. And it's always the little things that make huge difference. I remember when I was single and dating, I ran into the same situation where it was actually my dad who taught me those things.
No matter how successful the woman is, so she went to college, she has a fabulous career, she might own property, whatever it is, there's something still in truth that she wants to be taken care of by her man. And that's more of an emotional thing, just like a man wants to be taken care of by his woman. He wants to know he's loved. That woman wants to know that she is loved and she wants to know that she's safe, just like he wants to know he's safe loving her. So even though we have all these, you know, tough exteriors, we still want to know that we're safe. And when that man takes the time to make sure that she's taken care of and vice versa, that's what strengthens a relationship. So if you choose a relationship where the man doesn't care about you, I'm saying as a female, mm-hmm. you know, he never takes the time, like when he picks out a restaurant, well, is there something she can eat there? Does he just sit down and worry about what he's ordering? Or does he say, no, you know, what would you like? What can I get for you? If he's making sure that she's okay, just like in her head, she's thinking, oh, is there something that he can eat here? Is he okay? That's really going to strengthen that relationship because you're expressing that love through your caring behavior.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think that sometimes like you said, I don't know if it's our generations are changing. You had mentioned something about that before where it's a different culture now where people are rude to each other or they don't take into consideration the person that they're with or the person that they're on a date with, and it's all about me. I don't know if that's a change in society or what.
Well, I will tell you this, that one of the things I have to tell men a lot when they go on a first date because they're a little nervous is make sure you ask about her. Don't just be rattling on about yourself. I know she's going to ask you questions like, oh, where did you grow up? Do you have any brothers or sisters? Are your grandparents still alive? What do you want to do? What do you do? If you just answer her questions, at the end of the date, she's going to say, oh, he didn't even ask me anything about himself. So, and I say, you don't have to, it's not rocket science. If she says, hey, do you have any brothers or sisters? You turn around and say, well, do you have any brothers or sisters? What would you like to do? What do you do? What do you and your friends do for fun? Ask her about her life. And I know guys get like nervous, but a lot of them want to just talk about themselves. That's not the way to win over a woman at all. Not going to do it unless you're attracted to those women that all they want to do is suck onto your life because they have no life. Then that's a different story.
Right. No, and I think it all ties down to and goes back to the original point you made about the confidence. And I think that if you're confident, then you don't necessarily have to talk about yourself. Because I think when guys are doing that, they're rambling about themselves and I have this job and I make this amount of money and I drive this and I live over here. It's because they're trying to make an impression and they think that maybe they're going to impress the woman. And I think it totally has the opposite effect. But if you're confident enough, then you don't necessarily need to take that approach. And you will be interested in knowing about the woman. You know, you're not going to be necessarily intimidated about if the woman is successful, if she has a great paying job, if she has a career, owns her own place. Those are things that if you're confident, you will find attractive. So it goes back to your original point of confidence. And I think that I don't know what happened to, I guess, this generation, but a lot of parents didn't raise confident children. Some people have confidence due to certain circumstances in their life and the way they were brought up, but it's never definitely too late to learn confidence. And that's why we're lucky enough to have someone like you that can help us with those things.
Well, if you're not, not confident, you have to say to yourself, why don't I feel confident? Is it because I didn't finish school? Is it because I want to do something different with my life? Is it because I don't like my hair? You know, there's some things you're just about yourself you have to accept. I have huge, big rock star hair, okay? That's something I just have to accept. I'm never going to have little, tiny, straight, short, blunt haircut. So, you know, there's just things that you have to accept, but there's other things that you can do that make you feel good. And I'll tell you what I tell guys to do all the time is get your butt to the gym. Get your butt to the gym and start lifting weights. Because there's a chemical released in the tailbone area of our bodies when we lift weights that I truly, truly believe boosts our confidence levels. That inner strength comes out as outer strength. But you're right about men that go on these dates and talk about themselves, and what they do is they brag. And I used to sit there across from my dates and think, oh God, another bragger. But then I had to say to myself, oh, he's trying to impress me. So I would then turn around and say, listen, you don't have to impress me with this talk. Just be you. I don't want to hear that you employ 200 people. Okay, great. Good for you. Oh, how many houses do you own? 3? Okay, great. You're coming off as a bragger. If you want to come off as a bragger to me, then keep going. But if you're really trying to get my attention, just talk to me. Don't tell me what you have. Tell me why you love what you do. You know, tell me how you got into whatever industry you're in. But don't brag. Again, like you said, it is to impress that woman, like, hey, I'm going to beat my chest and show you how strong I am and how important I am. But I then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, he's probably just a little man. That's why he has to brag.
Now, how would they react when you would say, hey, listen, you don't have to impress me?
Well, you know, remember, this took years for me to formulate. When, as you're younger, you're not as confident in your voice. But I've learned that saying the truth of the moment gets you past the moment. So now when I say these things, they look at me and they go, what? And I go, yeah, what you're doing right now is not impressing me. So if you really like me and you want me to stay here and sit in this chair and have a conversation with you, you need to change gears. And so I guess I've been very lucky, and they're just like, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. And we just, you know, had a nice conversation. I've never, you know, they've never yelled at me. The only time I think I got yelled at in a bar was because I asked more than once a strange group of men next to me to try to keep down the F-bombs. And I told them that there was other adjectives and adverbs besides the F-bomb. Uh-huh. And that maybe they could show a little intelligence by using some of those other adjectives and adverbs.
So, I guess you didn't take it too well.
They didn't take it that well because they don't know any better. They really, they just, they didn't know any better. And I think this is a good time to segue into a conversation that you and I had prior to this call about nice guys and bad boys.
Yes. The age old question, what do women really prefer? The nice guy versus the bad boy?
Ultimately, you do want the nice guy. Absolutely. But here's the tricky thing about what we call the bad boy. Mm-hmm. There's two major differences as to why you're sort of put into one or the other. Mm-hmm. First of all, a bad boy always comes through looking confident because he just does what he wants when he wants it to do it. Mm-hmm. He might not be a really super smart guy. He might have something sexy about his exterior. Great looking butt in his jeans. Who knows? So he's going to come through as confident. And again, women are going to be drawn to that. There's definitely you have to remember with our sexuality, there's definitely an animal like magnetism about us that no matter how many people want to try to say it doesn't exist and try to crush it, we are sexually attracted to people. But that so-called bad boy, what he'll do that the nice guy won't is he'll bust a move. Mm-hmm. That bad boy will grab your hand, put his arm around you, go in for the kiss. The nice guy is too afraid of rejection. He's too nervous. He's too scared. The what if she says no, 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 no. That's why they come off as the nice guy, the one that only wants to be your friend versus your boyfriend. That's like, so when I, again, when I'm on campuses and I'm talking to a room full of guys and they're like, why can't the nice guy get the girl? I'm like, because you guys don't bust the move. Right. Now, and I will tell you something, because there's a huge difference between going to grab a girl's hand or asking a girl if you could hold her hand. And that is, I talk about this in my latest book, Because You Keep Asking. We have to watch that line of consent, because a lot of these, what we're calling bad boys, also take advantage of women. And there's a huge thing, you know, like right now about consent, when two people, you know, consenting adults are having sex, or whether a man has pushed himself onto a woman. So when I'm saying bust a move, it doesn't mean anything about taking advantage of a woman or not asking her if it's okay. It's just having the confidence to move into that intimate area of a relationship. Rob, do I have your consent to talk about sexual assault?
Yes, you do. Absolutely. I was just thinking back to what you were saying about the bad boy versus the good guy,
the nice guy.
Or the nice guy. Mm-hmm. I think that the nice guy can learn a lot from the bad boy.
And vice versa.
I think one of the things that women probably find attractive, or I don't know if it's attractive, but maybe alluring about the bad boy is his indifference. And what I mean by that is he doesn't necessarily is going to bend over backwards to be with you. So he has this indifference about it.
And do you know what that brings out in the woman?
possibly curiosity or wondering, well, why doesn't he want me? Or he's pretending, you know, like I can think of a bad boy calling.
No, she wants to win. Every woman, okay. I shouldn't say every woman, a lot of women, they have this thing where they're going to be different. They're going to be special. And I always say to women, you're not different. You're not special. You're just one more woman. Because they want to be the one that he likes. They want to be the one that he falls for. And they're going to get his attention as if he's a prize. And if you have to work that hard to get a guy, he's no prize.
Absolutely.
And then, but then when they have the nice guy that's showing them attention, they're like, oh, what's wrong with him? Gosh. And I'm like, no, that's the way it should be.
Right.
He should be paying attention to you. He should be bringing you a flower if you're sad or not feeling good to cheer you up. You know, again, though, it comes down to the emotional intelligence of each individual. Do right. they look for a healthy relationship or do they look for a sick relationship?
Right. And everyone's goal should be to be in a healthy relationship that's going to fulfill you and you feel good and just healthy all around. No one should ever want to be in an abusive or unhealthy relationship. And I think why people stay in those relationships is possibly because maybe that's all they know or that's what they're accustomed to, or maybe that's what they saw growing up in their home. And it's normal to them, but it's not a goal people should be pursuing. You should be in a healthy relationship that makes you happy and that is healthy. But going back to the bad boy versus the nice guy, that indifference, if the nice guy can kind of take a little bit of that indifference, not necessarily be completely indifferent, but show some slight indifference during that initial stage, I guess when maybe you're trying to create interest in the woman, then it maybe stirs something, like you said, that they want to win. And even though you're a nice guy, you can still apply that to your approach or technique.
I get, like, again, I think it depends on the woman. If a guy has any indifference, I would not be interested in him at all. Mm-hmm. But that's where I am in my life right now. But what I will give you is, you should have more in your life than having to worry about your relationship 24/7. You should have friends. Sure. You should have hobbies, work, school, whatever that is. You can't be available 24/7, especially in the beginning, because then they're like, what, does this person not have anything? What's going on? What am I getting into here? And you also don't want to, and the word's not creepy, but you don't want to come on in the first, you know, few weeks of a relationship as if you've been going out for 2 years. You don't need to call her 17 times a day or text her 17 times a day. She's just getting to know you. Give it time to unfold. Unless you screw it up by having sex and then once bodily fluids are exchanged, then I don't know. The relationship's never going to be the same. But, you know, she's just getting to know you. And slow the pace down. Slow the pace.
Some people have a hard time with that and jump in right into the sexual part of it. It is completely a total game changer.
And people say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, I'm sorry. Once bodily fluids are exchanged, things go crazy in our brains. I mean, it's even before that, when you start to meet someone. So there's this chemical in our brain called dopamine. And most people, when you hear them say, oh, I'm in love with love, it's really the dopamine. So that's this chemical that makes us feel high. And in the beginning of a relationship, the dopamine is just coursing through our bodies and giving us that high. And then sometimes when the dopamine starts to subside, that's when they say, oh, I really don't like this person anymore. I don't feel the same way. I'm like, no, it's just the dopamine has crashed. And now you really have to decide whether you like that person or not. Do you enjoy being with them? Do they make you smile? No, it's really the dopamine in the beginning of the relationship, or the oxytocin, especially after you've had sex, which some people have high levels of oxytocin in their system and some don't. And that oxytocin is like a bonding agent. So you have sex with a woman and then the oxytocin's coursing through her body and she wants to bond with you. And if you have oxytocin, then you want to bond with her. If you have very low levels of oxytocin and vasopressin, then maybe you're not a bonding person. Can just go from one person to the next. Yeah. Oh, but I tell people all the time, take it slow, really slow.
It's the dopamine talking.
It's don't let dopamine make a dope out of you.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's those chemicals that cause that warm and fuzzy feeling, I guess, right after sex. That's when people get all confused. Like, you always hear about people saying, well, you know, it's only sex. It's a girl that I hook up with all the time, or it's a guy that I hook up with all the time. It's just sex. And then you have, like you said, this chemical reaction taking place, and it becomes not just sex. It becomes emotional, and someone will get hurt, whether it's the guy or the girl. And it's because of that, because you went into it too quickly. And although sex is very physical, there's definitely an emotional part of it, and it's that chemical reaction that you were talking about that takes place in our brain, and then we can't differentiate one from the other when this reaction is taking place and someone gets hurt.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's so much the, of an emotional reaction, but that it's a chemical reaction.
It's a chemical reaction
in our bodies that does occur, and you're right, is that it's not just sex. There's other things that are happening to us, and you know, I hear this all the time, again, from all age groups. Well, we just had oral sex because oral sex is safe. No, 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 no. Oral sex is not the safe sex. No, especially, well, it depends on what part of the country you're in as to different cities. I know like in Los Angeles, they're like number one and two for like chlamydia and gonorrhea. But
wow.
we have a huge issue right now with oral sex causing gonorrhea in the throat. And why that is scary, again, this is in Because You Keep Asking, the second book. We talk about oral sex and how people think it's not really sex and how it's safe. Antibiotics today, the gonorrhea strains are getting so smart and so intense that our antibiotics are no longer curing it. So doctors have to come up with these like concoctions, these cocktails of multiple antibiotics to kill the gonorrhea bacteria. So you know, what you're thinking oral sex is safe. Well, then you're going to get gonorrhea in your throat possibly. And if it goes undiagnosed, that can lead to throat cancer. We're going to see oral and throat cancers in years to come because this illusion that oral sex is safe. So again, I go back to, you don't do anything until you say to somebody, have you been tested for sexually transmitted infections and diseases? Because until you can show me that piece of paper, you know, hands off, mouths off, hands off, everything off.
And there's a huge jump in statistics as far as oral sex being like, it's almost the accepted safe sex among young people. I don't know if it has anything to do with what we see on television or anything like that, but I've also noticed that there's almost like an acceptable porn culture where porn is more accepted now, whereas before it was something that was more done in private. Like younger people are very open about porn and what they see in porn. And they feel that because it's done all over porn, that it's safe. And then they have those same expectations when the guys are out with women.
It drives me crazy how in society today, the way the media, whether if it's videos, television shows, movies, they portray sexuality because it's very rarely portrayed as we practice it. And you're right, but we have to be careful what we call porn. You know, to some people, listening to a Barry Manilow concert is porn because that, you know, hey, that's what turns them on. And you have to think of porn from decades ago if we're talking about erotic films and erotic films of today, because there's a lot more female directors. There's movies that are made more for women, so there's more of a storyline. But as a sexual health educator, and when I'm speaking with other educators, you know, we're up in arms because people that watch these flicks to learn sexual technique, it's terrible because these people don't realize what happens before the director says action. There's so much prep that goes into, hey, and then all of a sudden, you know, action, and oh, we're immediately going to have sex, and this is the body parts that we're going to show, and this is, you know, the man can come on cue because, you know, if you're a really great porn actor, that's how you're judged.
That's pretty impressive.
And, you know, and they're forgetting that these things are edited together. So I'm not a big fan of learning how to have sex with another human being through these flicks. But if it's something that turns you on, you know, great. But if it's something that's demeaning to a man or demeaning to a woman, then no, I don't want people watching that, because then that just adds to what you were talking about, like the acceptance and the craziness of just unhealthy relationships and unhealthy sexual behavior.
Yeah, I've just heard of horror dates, whether it's a woman who goes out on a date or a couple of dates with a guy, and the relationship is going to turn sexual. And sometimes guys' expectations of what it should be like is based on what they saw in a movie. And I think guys have that misconception or these crazy fantasies, if we can call them, that are not based on any reality. They're based on something that they saw in a porn, and they're asking women to do certain things that I guess are not considered within the norm, or it's too early in the relationship to take it that far. And that's what people are running into.
Because people don't educate themselves on sexuality. They don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Because You Keep Asking was written for young adults, but I've had people in their 40s email me and say, oh my gosh, I'm in my 40s and I don't know the answers to these questions you posed. So why is it that we're not comfortable going to the library or going to a bookstore or going online and buying books on how to kiss, how to make love to somebody, how to be intimate, how to be a better lover? And you meet people in their 40s and they've been having the sex the same way since they were 25. And you're like, really? You haven't learned anything? You haven't experimented? You haven't read a book? Like, but it's so difficult. It's difficult. And that is why you have to be close with somebody to really say, listen, we have to get better at this. What you're doing, what you might have seen in a movie, is not turning me on. I hate to tell you this, but when the guy in the movie touched the girl's elbow and she had an orgasm from that, you can touch my elbow for 24 hours. I'm not going to have an orgasm from it. But they have to hear that, and you have to have that conversation. I wish that there was some police group that was out there saying, hey, you know what, this sexually, this, no, this isn't really what you want to watch if you want to become a better lover. Or, hey, this is the one that you want to watch. You have to kind of figure that out for yourselves. But please know, there are wonderful books out there that will just even just break down and make you a better kisser. And that's important. We've kind of lost the art of kissing in today's society. It's like, hey, bing, bam, boom, let's just go for it. But kissing does such wonderful things for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's and something I want to touch on, too, that a lot of these flicks don't pay attention to is safety. You know, in California, the porn actors are supposed to wear condoms, and that's why they're saying they're all going to take their productions to Nevada. But you are responsible for your own safety. So, for example, as a man and the woman says, oh, I'm on birth control pills. Well, I don't care. You're still wearing a condom. You don't know if she's on birth control pills. You don't know if she takes them the same time every day. You don't know if she's taking a medication that's going to conflict with the birth control pills. You have to take care of your own safety. Mm-hmm. Same thing I would say to a woman. You have to take control of your own safety. It's up to you. It's not up to somebody else.
Ultimately, it's your life on the line also.
That's correct. You know, it breaks my heart when a 19-year-old guy comes up and says, you know, I don't understand. She said she was on the pill and I only had sex with her twice and she got pregnant. And I said, well, because you didn't take responsibility, you now have a kid. Mm-hmm. Or when a woman thinks that because she sees everybody on TV jumping into bed and she thinks everybody's having sex. By the way, Rob, not everybody's out there running around having sex. And she's right. Like, oh, and, you know, she's a young woman and she's already been with 40 guys and one of them gave her herpes. I'm like, well, because you weren't taking control of your own body. I mean, if somebody was standing next to you in line, coughing and sneezing, you would probably stand 6 feet away from that person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what if this person that you're ready to rub up naked with has some bacteria? Like, you'd want to stand 6 feet away, but no, you're like, hey, let's do it.
Right.
You can't see the bacteria no matter how pretty she is. You can't see it. You have to protect yourself.
Great advice. Renee, your website is iambeforeidoo.com. Is that the best place where guys can reach out to you if they want to learn more about what you do, buy your books?
You can also get to it with smartsexrocks.com, because I want people to have smart sex. So smartsexrocks.com. And if you go up to the homepage up top, there's links for social media. So any of your listeners that follow me on Twitter and Facebook, because starting today, we're going to be monitoring it. Anybody that joins Facebook and Twitter, we're going to be putting their contact information into a big bowl. And then we're going to select one person to get a free copy of Because You Keep Asking. And then we'll let you know who that person is. And we'll send them a copy.
Awesome.
We'll private message them to get their information so we can send them a copy of the book.
Will you sign the book?
Absolutely.
Renee Allison Spina, sexual health educator, award-winning author. Her latest book, Because You Keep Asking, Questions About Sexuality. Make sure you visit her website, give her a like on Facebook, follow her on Twitter, and you can win a signed copy of her latest book. Renee, thank you so much for your time. It was educational, a lot of fun, and I just had a great time speaking with you.
Thanks, Rob. You're the best.
Thank you. So are you.
Again, Renee Allison Spina of smartsexrocks.com. You make sure you check her website out. And we are here every Monday night on Radio Free Brooklyn, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You make sure that you tune in. And if you love the show, if you enjoy the show, tell your friends about it. Tell them what we're doing here on Radio Free Brooklyn. And again, I want to remind you, shoot me an email. I want to hear from you. You can send me a message at robaguilarshow@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions, if you have any comments, if you have any topics you want us to cover, if you want to co-host, you can co-host with me. Shoot me a message. Now, coming up next, we have Tripping Beats. So you do not want to miss that. Thank you all very much for hanging out. I will see you all in the promised land.